You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, hour number three. We got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, this is that time of the week. It's Wednesday. It's not only hump day, it's Grand Council Day, we like to call it. I got two of my brothers in arms that do talk radio of their own, been doing it longer than me. And we get together, ping each other with questions, and just see how it goes. So I'll call the roll. First of all, from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, and also writing for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson. You here? There, stand at ease. All right, and then from FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show down in Mobile, also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. All right, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da-ba-da. All right, tell you what, I think I went first last time, so Dale Jackson, you got it first. What you got?
At first, I noticed Jeff's getting a little excited here. First, he used faulty language on my radio show this morning. Now he's all pumped up. Better watch out. Get your hand on the dump button, everybody. Is this where they get Joe Biden? Is this where they get him?
Which get are we getting?
Any of it. Any of this impeachment stuff. Does it draw any blood on Joe Biden?
You want to go first, Jeff? Take it away.
We've seen this diminished, deteriorating state.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't think legally the system is just designed to protect this guy. But, I mean, like, at what point does just, like, human, you know, does his, like, humanity show and it's all over? I'm not saying he would kill over and die, but that it's clearly apparent that it's had a detrimental effect on him and he can't serve as president anymore. I mean, is that even in the realm of possibilities?
I look at this, too, and I think if for Trump, it was Russia, Russia, Russia. And I've seen the evidence, which no one ever got to see. And it was, and special prosecutors coming back with nothing, Mueller, nothing. But in this case, man, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but we got bank records. We've got corporate documents. We've got emails. We've got him using false names out of the White House to talk to his son and go to dinners that he said he never went to. It's just, it's on and on and on, and it's pretty legit stuff. And is this where we get him? I'll be honest with you. I think at this point it's almost going to be hard not to get him. The question is it get him enough? And then I do think this is going to wind up being a thing. Something that's not been talked about a lot. There is one report that said that Biden actually may have been able to access funds through Hunter's accounts by having his own debit card on Hunter's accounts, and that may be a thing. And then we also just heard James Comer said Monday that there are now records being produced from offshore bank accounts. So why do you have offshore accounts, multiple companies, and millions transferring in if you're not shady? Your own question, Dale, what are you thinking?
Well, I think, like you mentioned, Trump, death by a thousand cuts. That's kind of how they got Donald Trump. And I think that's what's happening with Joe Biden here, too. I mean, there's just so much that it's just tearing him apart in his favorability. I mean, it's just hurting him everywhere. And maybe they don't land a death blow or an impeachment conviction or anything like that. But I think they're tearing him apart in favorability and credibility, although it should already be gone. We could go through a thousand different reasons why Joe Biden shouldn't be trusted. Just starting back from the death of his wife and daughter and how he's lied about that his entire career to the fact that he thought he was at 9/11 on one of the airplanes.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I think the walls are coming down. There was apparently the Washington Post editorial board, Washington Post of all things, came out today and pretty much asked him not to run. And so you look at this and go, yeah, the shine's off the apple. Jeff, next question. What do you got?
Redistricting here. And I guess not that there's any new information. There is new information, actually, that Pro Tem Pringle has submitted his his original Pringle plan map to the three-judge panel to be asked to be considered. And guess who the attorney representing him was? It was Dorman Walker of Bausch & Bingham, who's supposed to be the counsel for the whole committee. But apparently Pringle's doing this without the approval of his Senate or his Senate counterpart there. But nonetheless, I don't see this whole episode ending well for Alabama. Is there any reason to be optimistic that this is going to come out with a favorable outcome? A lot of people are saying it's just not going to go to the Supreme Court. Don't get your hopes up.
Well, okay, so two parts there. Number one, you and I talked about Pringle on your show yesterday. I talked about him on my show earlier today. I had Todd Stacey on talking about it also. And total, I'm going to go ahead and just repeat what I said before. Pringle made a total punk move. Total punk, look at me. Don't you know I tried to be nice? I'm the good guy here. Everybody see me? I want to run for Congress again. That's what we just had with Chris Pringle dropping his own plan. There was no benefit to that. It did nothing but throw his peers under the bus. So that being said, is it going to go well? I think what's going to wind up happening is we're going to get maps we think suck, and then we're going to wind up having to deal with it for at least a period of time while it goes to the Supreme Court. And I think I'm going to go ahead and give it 50-50 whether the Supreme Court even takes it up again, which may mean we're stuck with it. Dale?
Pringle seems like he is trying to be the good guy Republican and make the people that will not help him or like him or do anything for him happy. And if that's what's actually going on, then no, I don't think this will work. I think that this will end up in a situation where we will either be stuck with whatever the special master is. And who knows? Mike Rogers made it. He thinks it could be like something crazy. That could look completely different all the way around. And if that is the case, yes, it will go poorly for the state of Alabama.
And I'm anxious to see, too, whether or not they're going to draw Jerry Carl and Barry Moore into the same district. And I'm betting they are. It's going to be a wild one, fellas. It's just going to be a wild one. All right, third question. Let me jump in there. So news broke literally right before the top of the hour. You guys are probably aware, I'm sure, of the New Mexico governor going out there and just saying that the constitutional rights that we all believe are, you know, sacred, that those are not absolute, and that she has the right to declare a health emergency related to gun violence and then suspend the Second Amendment. She just got enjoined like about 20, 30 minutes ago. So the Gun Owners of America and a couple of other organizations immediately filed suit. They just got an injunction. So in other words, that whole thing is on hold. It's unenforceable anyway. Sheriff's saying they're not going to enforce it. Here's my question. Was this a test case for other states and liberal activists to take action? Or was this a one-off by the New Mexico governor? Dale.
I think it was just a one-off by the New Mexico governor. I think this is just a wild swing in the dark. I spoke with Phil Binsler, the state representative from Montgomery, a Democrat, and he just like he said, oh, I don't even know anything about this. I've never even heard about this, and that was yesterday, which tells me that they don't even want to touch this thing. They know it's a disaster from the very beginning, so they'd rather punt the whole thing away. So, no, I don't think there's any coordination here. This is just a dumb person being dumb.
Jeff?
She just, like you said, maybe it's a test case to see what would happen, but it doesn't it seem kind of like a Hail Mary? Doesn't this seem like something that would be, especially the state like New Mexico? I know it's a blue state, but wouldn't that be a political career ender to take a shot at something like this? That's why she's doing it. Just, I got nothing to lose, and this is what I'm going to do.
Well, you would think it would be, and she is in a blue state, so maybe she feels safe in that regard, and she's an Obamaite, so maybe she feels empowered. But I look at it, at one point in her comments the other day in her press conference, she said she knows that this is going to be legally challenged, but it was her way of starting the debate. And that just tells me what she really wanted was the notoriety and the ability to move something forward. And whether other governors like what we see in Oregon and Washington State and others might take it up. Somebody wants to get this to the Supreme Court, whether it's her or others, I don't know.
But there's no way, Senator, that the this court, this Supreme Court, is going to rule in their favor, right?
No, I wouldn't think so. I don't think even – I think they might lose one of the liberal votes on the Supreme Court if that happened. But, anyway, we'll wait and see. The bottom line is this. They can take action and do what they can if they can declare an emergency. And that's a horrible situation for civil liberties. All right, fellas, round one, we're done. Let's take a break right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back in a couple of minutes. Round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News and Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. We're back with the Grand Council, Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and with 1819 News, Dale Jackson at WVNN up yonder in Huntsville, and also writing for Yellowhammer News. So round two, Dale Jackson, you're up. What you got?
Okay, so I had to pick Grant up from chess camp today. So
chess
he
camp.
To ask you, yes, I can't play chess, but he can. He beat my wife at chess yesterday. I was very impressed.
Wow.
But, either way, he asked a question about that beating that took place down at Auburn.
Yeah.
That the two guys were watching someone beat the hell out of some guy and then toss a girl and beat her up some more. Is there a crime to just sit back and watch people beat the hell out of other people and not do anything about it? And should it be illegal?
Oh, well, I mean, you're jumping into, I mean, so first of all, I think there's been a devaluing in our society of what I would call normal standards and standards of decency. And part of that is the smartphone. Everybody's so desperate to film something and put it up on their Instagram reel that they forget that every once in a while you might need to step in and be a hero. But I will say this, legally speaking, there's actually typically not an obligation to intervene. Now, I can just tell you, if you're standing by and you had the means to help a child who was being, you know, abducted or something like that, and you did nothing, like you just filmed it and watched, I think that somebody should be able to bring civil liability to some cases. But criminal liability, no, I don't think so. I could be wrong. Jeff?
I mean, I don't want to be obligated. I agree with you about the desensitization of the culture. And everybody wanted to go viral, but I you know, legally, criminally, or civilly, I guess the child, but I don't know. Imposing some kind of obligation on an innocent bystander who's not violating any law, just it seems to get into a really rocky place that I don't really like.
Yeah, and look at what happened to the guy on the subway train up in New York, who the retired Marine who just decided. He'd had enough, and he intervened on a guy who was threatening people's lives. And the whole world looks at him and goes, yeah, but the DA goes, no. And that's where he's facing criminal charges. Your own question, Dale, what do you got?
Yeah, it's a hard one. It reminds me of the last episode of Seinfeld, and, you know, they sat there and they filmed the guy getting harassed, and they end up going to jail. I don't know. I don't think there's not an obligation. But I'm torn on whether or not there should be, because then you get into what's reasonable and what's not. Is it reasonable for Jeff to intervene when that would probably just get Jeff beat up? But if someone like I intervened, it would stop it. You know, it's who is, you know, responsible in these things? And I think that there's a lot of questions. So I think where it is right now is probably where it's going to have to stay.
I think what we should do, though, we should look at the idea of decriminalizing Good Samaritan behavior. I mean, that there are Good Samaritan laws in place right now around the nation. Alabama has one. And it's a little dicey, but the situation we had up in there in D.C. or D.C. or New York, that was a clear case of saving people's lives. The bad guy lost his life, and now this guy's going to jail potentially. Ugly situation. All right, next question. Jeff, what do you got?
First, let me say 5'6" Dale Jackson talking a big game about how he's going to step in and save the day. That is bold.
I'm 5'9", just like every other 5A guy.
Hey, go stand on a cinder block when you talk to me that way. Hey, the special election for the old David Cole seat, Democrats think they could flip this thing. Y'all know it better than I do. What do you think?
You know, I look at this and think, well, you know, good on you. I guess you got to try, but it's not going to change the supermajority a bit. But I don't, you know, I Okay, I don't think so. I think it's going to wind up being still a safe seat. It's a little more purple up there, but Dale knows it better than I do. So what are your thoughts, Dale?
They drew that seat as unsafe as possible because Mike Ball was leaving, and they didn't care if they lost it. And number two, Marilyn Lands, the Democrat, was a Mike Ball BFF. So they knew she was going to run. I'm not saying they drew it for her, although some people are saying that on the radio, Christopher Horn being one of them. And I will just say, I think that they don't really care if they lose that seat because it was drawn the way it was to protect everything around it. You sacrifice one to save many, right?
Well, we'll wind up seeing. But, I mean, I look at it and think it's – I mean, part of me just thinks, having grown up in the Huntsville area, I just have a hard time believing that. But I get it.
You were down there. When you draw the seat, sometimes, you know, if someone's leaving, okay, let's nibble off some of their edges, make that a little less safe to protect the people around them. That's how political gerrymandering
works. Well, I never had that conversation, I can just tell you right now. Mine was like, friggin' draw it as red tight as you can, man. That was my thought.
I can hear you winking through the phone.
Just, okay, you wink, wink if you want to, but 5'6". All right, go ahead, Jeff, your own question. What do you got?
It would surprise me if it went Democrat, but this is a time when Democrats got to show their muster, right? Because low turnout election in a kind of an off cycle is a good time for them to get out the vote and beat the Republicans.
Well, we shall see. Last question, with only about 2 minutes left, most of my questions have been gone. My list, the last one I have here is, you guys had a story on 1819. A kid, 6 years old, in Dora, Alabama, in a Jefferson County public school, was playing cops and robbers with his buddy, and because he was going pow-pow with his finger in the shape of a gun, he was suspended. And I'm just questioning, so first of all, how does this happen in Alabama? Secondly, when's the lawsuit start? Dale?
Suspend everyone in the chain of command that made that decision. Anyone that touched it needs to be suspended for a month. For being a complete idiot, embarrassing the citizens of the state and the school district, give the kid an award.
And send him to chess camp. That's right. That's right. And then what do you think, Jeff?
Well, Dora, red part of a very blue county now, Jefferson County. I guess it doesn't totally surprising, but you're right. This is something that shouldn't happen in Alabama.
I would have never made it through a week of school. I was always playing soldiers or superheroes or cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians or something. There were more 10 guns in my life than I have in my adult life now. What, Dale?
You know, Grant's doing this thing right now where he does double finger guns and says, "That's where you're wrong, Buckaroo." And it's, I don't know where he got that. I totally didn't tell that. And he's doing that. If he does that at school, is he going to get suspended?
Yeah, well, you know what? If you live in Dora, Alabama, you're at risk, bud. You're at risk.
Okay.
Just keep an eye on it. Raise that child right. All right, fellas, I appreciate both of you. That's the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville, and he also writes for Yellowhammer News, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We got plenty more. We'll be right back.